God is definitely good, isn't he? We could never thank him, praise him enough for his goodness in our life. Oh, you're fine. You're fine. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I want to ask if you would to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I had the privilege yesterday of driving my niece to Bridgeport for a soccer outing, and I've been preparing and working on a message for this morning for quite some time, but as I was driving up the road yesterday and back down, the Lord just kind of continued to bring my heart and my mind back to this passage of Scripture, and finally I just said, okay, Lord, if that's where you want me to go this morning, that's where we are going to go. So I believe God has something special for us out of this passage this morning. There's no doubt. A little over 2,000 years ago, the greatest event in the history of mankind took place. We're getting ready to celebrate it here in just about a month. Jesus left heaven. He came here to this earth in the form of a baby boy, born by the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect and sinless life. And at the end of that perfect and sinless life, He went to Calvary's cross. And there He suffered, He shed His blood, died, and was buried to atone for my sins, for your sins, and for the sins of this entire world. Aren't you thankful this morning for the truths of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That has changed my life. I pray this morning it has changed your life. It has changed the lives of thousands of people that have walked the face of this globe. But I believe God sent me here this morning to tell you this. There is still yet one great event on God's calendar that will change the lives of thousands and thousands of people. And that event is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming again. Just as we just sang about His faithfulness, He is faithful to His Word. And His Word says He will return again one of these days. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, in verse 13, it says this: "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope." I'm here to tell you this morning, we have a hope. "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so through Jesus, God will bring with Him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and who are left unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep." This is the good part. "For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive and who are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will we always be with the Lord." It says, "Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now, concerning the times and the seasons, brother, you have no need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night." The Bible says here in verse 13 that God does not want us to be uninformed regarding His second coming and His return. Now, I want to say this morning, I don't have it all figured out. The more I study God's Word and the more I try to understand His second coming, the more I realize I don't know. If there is anyone who ever stands up here or stands before you and tells you they have the second coming of the Lord figured out, they can tell you the time and the day and the month. You might as well just turn around and walk the other way, because they don't. The Bible says no man knows the time or the day that he will return. But what I want to do to give you it this morning is give you some truths that I do know for sure that is very clear in the Word of God regarding the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible is very clear about it. It tells us about His second coming from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelations. There are truths sprinkled and spread all the way throughout the Word of God. There are approximately 1,848 references to His second coming in the Old Testament. 27 of the 39 Old Testament books make the second coming of the Lord their prominent subject. Whenever you come to the New Testament, out of the 216 chapters in the New Testament, there are 318 references to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you begin to put all that together, one in every 30 verses in your Bible speaks of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He does not want us to be uninformed concerning that event. Now, in order to bring this passage of Scripture into crystal clear focus, what I want to do this morning is I want to set before you a timeline to help you understand a little bit better the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I need a little bit of help this morning. Pastor Bob, I know you're taking the day off, but I need you to help me for just a second, okay? Would you come up here for just a second? I want you to stand here. Now, Bob is going to represent Calvary. He's going to represent the first coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Ray, I need your help too, okay? We can't eat cookies all the time, all right? We got to do some work, okay? Come on up here. Ray is going to be right here. Now, Ray's going to represent the first aspect of God's second coming. See, what we have to understand is there are two aspects to His second coming. Ray's going to represent the first aspect, and then Randy, I need your help too. I need Randy to step up here. Randy, I want you to come right here. You are going to represent the second aspect of His second coming, okay? Now, I want to give you a passage of Scripture. Now, you might want to write this down somewhere where you can go back to it a little bit later, okay? Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. It's going to lay out this timetable for you, okay? Listen to what it says. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people. That's Calvary. That is grace at its finest. God's riches at Christ's expense. God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is Calvary. That is grace. That is God at His best, His love. That's what Bob represents right here. God's first coming. Now, listen to what it says on over in Titus 2. It says, for the grace of God that has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, has come, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Okay? So we have Calvary. We have the present age where God is teaching us to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Then it says, looking for the blessed hope. There we go. And the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Looking for the blessed hope. What is the blessed hope? It's the rapture of the church. It's God catching His church out of this world and the great appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So what we have to understand, right here's where we're at. We're in the present world. The Holy Spirit's teaching us to live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. And then it says, looking for the blessed hope, the rapture of the church, and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now what we have to understand is between the first aspect and the second aspect, the rapture of the church and the revelation of Christ, there is a 7-year time period right here called the tribulation. Okay? Now catch it. When Jesus comes at the rapture, He is going to come invisibly. This world at large is not going to understand what is going on. He's going to come, the Bible says, in the clouds of the air. They're not going to see Him. But when Jesus comes back at the revelation, He will come all the way down here to this earth, and He will rule and He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, the Bible says He's going to come as a thief in the night. Now, if a thief is very good at his job, you won't see him at work, right? He's going to come like a thief, invisibly. And He is going to catch the church, His bride, up to be with Him in the clouds of the air. When He comes back at the revelation, He is going to come back as the great general of the great army. We will be with Him. We will come back here and we will rule with Him on earth at the revelation of Christ. Everyone will see Him for who He is in that day. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, He will take the church and it will trigger one of the worst times this world there has ever been. There will be wars. There will be pestilences. There will be diseases. There will be all kinds of bad things going on. This world will be in a wreck for 7 years. But when Jesus comes back at the revelation, men will study war no more. There will be peace, and He will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. When Jesus comes back at the rapture, understand the Holy Spirit has been here working, holding back the evil tide of sin for this time right here. But when Jesus comes back at the rapture, the church, the agent that the Holy Spirit works through, will be gone. So Satan and the Antichrist will be turned loose for this 7-year period to work out their scheme here on this world for 7 years. But when Jesus comes back at the revelation, He's going to take Satan. He's going to take the Antichrist. He is going to bind them up and He is going to throw them in the bottomless pit. And they won't be able to work out anymore. When Jesus comes at the rapture, sin will be turned loose to have its course. Theft, rape, murder, you name it, will be commonplace here. But when Jesus comes back at the revelation, there will be no more sin. There will be no more sickness. There will be no more sorrow. We're looking as a church for this event right here. The rapture of the church. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 is talking about. You guys can be seated. Now that we have that in crystal clear focus this morning, I want to take just a couple minutes. And I want to give you 3 truths to help you get prepared for that event, the rapture of the church. Truth number 1. Jesus is coming soon. Are you ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ? He's coming soon. The Bible says, for the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. He's coming. And what excites me about that, Brother Bob, is this. It doesn't say that God is going to send Moses or Elijah or one of His archangels to come and get us. But it says the Lord Himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout because He's coming for His bride. He's coming to get us and take us to the marriage supper of the Lamb to be with Him for all of eternity. That excites me this morning to think about. God is looking for that day to come and get us to be with Him. He's coming. And He is coming very, very soon. As I study through my Bible, I cannot find one prophetic passage of Scripture that must be fulfilled before the Lord returns for the rapture of the church. The Bible teaches an imminent return. He could return at any time. Before we close out this service this morning, we get in our vehicles and start home, that trumpet could sound and the church could be out of here. He's coming very soon. As a matter of fact, when you study the great prophetic passages of Scripture that tells us about wars and pestilences and diseases and all the things that are going to happen that are signs of His second return, what we have to understand is most of those passages are pointing past the rapture aspect of His coming and are pointing over here to the revelation aspect of His coming. So if we see wars, we see diseases, we see all of the crazy natural disasters that are taking place today, how close we must be to this event right here if they're telling us about over here. Are you with me this morning? He's coming, and He is coming very soon. You see, a lot of times we get caught up on looking at all the signs and everything and trying to put all these things together. As a church, it's time for us to stop looking at the signs and it's time for us to start listening for the sounds. Because He's coming. And He's coming soon. And we need to let this world know He is coming and He will be here at any moment. And they need to get prepared and be ready. He's coming soon. Number two, He's coming suddenly. 1 Thessalonians 15 says this, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." Can I tell you, as I was driving up the road yesterday, that verse was just resonating in my heart. Chris, I'm looking for the day whenever I receive my change. That trumpet will sound and I will drop this body that is prone to sin, prone to sickness, prone to all the sorrows that come here in this world. Listen, I will lose that body. I will receive a body likened unto His glorious body. No more sin, no more sickness, no more sorrow having to say goodbye. And it's going to happen, the Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. That word moment is the Greek word atomos. It's where we get our English word atom. One time thought to be the smallest indivisible particle. So kind of what Paul is saying here is in an indivisible amount of time. It's so small that we can't split it. In an indivisible amount of time, it's smaller than a second, smaller than a millisecond. I mean, it's small. In a moment. In the twinkling of an eye. For years, I always heard preachers say it means in the blinking of an eye. It's faster than that. It's the amount of time it takes light to hit your eyeball and be reflected back off in the atmosphere. Slightly slower than the speed of light. 282,000 some miles per second. Pretty fast. The trumpet will sound in an invisible amount of time, as fast as the speed of light. I'll be changed and out of here. Can you say that for yourself this morning? Are you prepared for that trumpet blast, for that shout of the archangel? I say that because of this. If you're here today and you're not sure that you're ready, you need to get ready now before it's too late. You see, when that trumpet sounds, there won't be time to get ready then. I may have shared this with you before, but I want to share it again. There used to be a guy where I got my hair cut as a boy. And he was one of these guys that he knew just enough Bible to make him dangerous, if you know what I'm talking about. And every time I would go and get my hair cut, all he wanted to do was argue about Christians who didn't live the way they should and gossip and just get off on all kinds of crazy stuff. And early in my ministry, I was sitting there in the chair one day, and he was cutting my hair, and I mean, he was just going on and on and on and on and on. And finally, I kind of taken all that I could take. And I said, listen. I said, you just need to make sure that you're right with the Lord. You need to make sure that you're ready to meet Him. And he looked at me and he said, I ain't worried. And it set me back. I was like, you're not worried. He said, nope. He said, I got it figured out. Now, when those words came out of his mouth, here's what went through my mind. I want to know how it is he has this figured out, but I don't want to ask, because if I do, I'm going to be in this chair for 30 more minutes. So I sat there and I sat there, and finally I just couldn't take it anymore. I said, how is it that you've got this figured out? He said, well, preacher, he said, if anybody's going to go, he said, I know you're going to go. He said, my plan is this. He said, I'm just going to stay real, real close to you. I'm being honest. And he said, when I hear that trumpet blast, I'm going to grab a hold of you by the waist and I'm going to go rolling it up with you. I'm being serious. And God just gave me a boldness at that moment, and I looked him right back in the eye. And I said, you're going to have to get a whole lot quicker than you are cutting my hair. We can laugh, and we should. But the truth is this. When that trumpet sounds, there won't be time to grab a hold of anything, because He's going to come soon. And He's going to come suddenly, in a moment, in an indivisible part of time, as fast as the speed of light. And we as the church will be out of here. Make sure you're prepared. Don't wait. Don't hesitate any longer if you're not sure that you're ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He's coming soon. He will come suddenly. But then thirdly, when He comes, He will come selectively. Not everyone will be caught up when that trumpet sounds, when the archangel shouts and the Lord returns. The Bible says, for the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead... Church, what's the next two words? In Christ. In Christ. Shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet Him in the clouds of the air. Those who are in Christ. Everyone else will be left behind for that time of tribulation and trouble between the rapture and the revelation. It's kind of like this. Suppose this morning we were to take a bunch of metal. We were to take some scrap iron, maybe take some gold, silver, aluminum, steel. We were to take all those scraps out here somewhere in the driveway and put them there in a pile and kick some gravel and some leaves up over top of them and just kind of, you know, bury them there. Then we were to take a super strong magnet and swing that super strong magnet over top of that pile of metal. What would happen is this. All of the iron that was underneath the gravel and underneath the leaves and even underneath all of the other metal, they would be caught up to that magnet. And all the rest would be left behind, still laying in a pile. That is exactly the way the rapture will take place. When the Lord shouts, those who know Him, they will be caught up to meet Him in the clouds of the air, just like that metal going up and meeting that magnet. All others will be left behind. You say, well, why does just the iron go up and hit that magnet? Well, it's because the iron and the magnet possesses similar properties, or they have a similar nature that is attracted. You see, only those who are in Christ, only those who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, changing their nature from the inside out, will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. See, preacher, help me out. What do you mean? What does it mean to be in Christ? Well, let me tell you what it is not. Being in Christ is not about being a religious person. It's not about going to church. It's not even about reading your Bible. It's not even about praying. It's not about being baptized. It's not about going through confirmation or catechism or any other religious ritual that you might go through. It's not about having an emotional experience. Do you realize I could go to the movies tonight and have an emotional experience? It's not about any of those things. It's not about religion. Jesus met a religious man named Nicodemus. And you know what he told him right off the bat? He says, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and the Spirit. In other words, you must be born of your mother once, a physical birth, and born of the Spirit, a heavenly birth, in your heart, a change from the inside out. It's not about religion. It's not about reformation. It's not about just saying, well, you know, I realize I need to straighten my life up a little bit. I'm probably not in good standing with the Lord. I probably just need to straighten. You can't straighten your life up enough to earn or deserve heaven. We must understand, Jeremiah 17:9 says, that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You don't even understand how wicked you really are. You can't change yourself. The only way you can be changed is for the Spirit of God to move into you and change you from the inside out. It's not about your religion. It's not about your reformation. It's about being reborn, born again of the Holy Spirit of God. You say, well, what is that? It is you coming to that point in your life where you listen to that small voice that is speaking inside of you, telling that you are a sinner. You can't be good enough. You can't do good enough to save yourself. And it also tells you, although you can't be good enough or do good enough, it tells you Jesus loves you. And He went and He died on Calvary's cross. He was buried and He rose again for you and for you. And for you, and for you, and for the sins of the entire world. To save you from the penalty of your sin, that's hell. To change you, or to save you from the power of your sin, and that's all the habits that you do that are ungodly and wicked in this present world. He wants to deliver you from that. Teach you how to live for God. And then ultimately save you from the very presence of sin. That's the rapture, taking you to be with Him for all of eternity. And as a result of realizing you can't save yourself, you can't be good enough, realizing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again to give you power, you repent of your sins. That means you are willing to turn from your sin and trust Jesus Christ to do in you what you can't do for yourself. The Bible says, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Doesn't say you might be. Doesn't say you may be. Thou shalt be saved. See, it's not about you, Bill. Aren't you glad? It's all about. Guys, when it all boils down to it, it's all about Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's all about Him. You know, I said this a few minutes ago, it's not about you being good enough, reading your Bible enough, going to church, doing all those things. But here's the amazing thing about it. If you accept Christ as your Savior, He comes in, He gives you a desire to be in church, to be around God's people, to read His Word, to pray, to love people, to witness, and to do those things. It just happens. You don't have to work it up. The Holy Spirit does it in and through you. So bring all that together to say this. Is that your experience with Christ? Has there been that time in your life when you responded to the call of the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart and you trusted Christ to be your Savior and you were born again? If not, maybe you're sitting there in your pew right now and you feel like your heart is about to bust inside of your chest. He's speaking into you. This morning will be a great morning to come, find myself, find Brother Bob, when we give a time to respond to this message and just say, I want to trust Christ. And you know what we're going to do? First of all, we're going to praise God for what He's doing in this place, what He's doing in your life. Then we're going to pray with you, and we're going to help you begin to live for God in this present world, looking for that blessed hope. For those of you who do know Christ, you know He's come in and He's changed your life. You're a new creature. As we approach this Christmas season, there's not a better time to witness and share Christ with lost friends and family than this time of year. Letting them know that He came once. That's what we're celebrating. But get ready, He's coming again. And to share the good news of the gospel with them. So I encourage you, when we come to this time of response, man, maybe you just, the Lord's putting somebody on your heart, in your mind right now, that you know needs to be prepared. I encourage you, why don't you just pray? Ask God to give you those opportunities to share that He is going to return as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Father, help us now as we come to this time of responding to Your Word this morning and the message that You have clearly presented to us. Lord, we thank You for Your salvation, coming to die on the cross for us. God, we're thankful that You're going to come again and take us out of this evil world and take us to be with You and make all things new again. As our instrumentalists come this morning and maybe just begins to just softly play, I want to ask us a couple of questions that will help direct us in this time of responding to the Lord. If you're here this morning and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt there's been that time in your life when you repented of your sins and by faith receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. God's come into your life. He's changed you. You've been born again. Would you just slip up your hand as a testimony to that this morning? Just hold it there for just a moment. Man, beautiful, beautiful sight this morning. Hands waving in the air all over this auditorium. You can put your hands down. For those of you that just raised your hands, I want to ask you to pray. Pray for those who are in here today that may not know Christ and aren't prepared for His return. But then pray also for the friends, family, loved ones that you know needs to get things right with the Lord and get prepared for His coming. I want to invite you, if you want to come to this altar and pray for them, you're more than welcome. If you want to make an altar right there out of your seat, God hears you wherever you're at. But then secondly this morning, I want to ask this. I wonder if there might be someone here that say, "Preacher, if I were to be completely honest with myself and to be honest before God today, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to meet the Lord. If He were to return today, if that trumpet were to sound and the Lord were to come, you're not sure that you're ready to go." Friends, if that's you this morning, listen, I never, ever want to pick you out. I never want to embarrass you. But I would love to have the privilege of being able to pray for you and try to help you know the Lord as your Savior today. Here's what I'd like to ask you to do right there where you're seated. If you feel like the Spirit is speaking to your heart about trusting Christ as your Savior, would you just slip up your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm concerned about my soul and my eternity and being prepared for the Lord's return." Is there anyone? Is there anyone? I don't see any hands being lifted. But I'm not going to take for granted that everyone here knows Christ in a crowd this size. If the Lord's speaking to you, I'm telling you, I'm available. Brother Bob's available. Catch us anytime before you leave here and just say, "I want to speak to you about trusting Christ." We'll be more than glad to help you. Here's what we're going to do. If you will turn on our organ back there, we're going to play a stanza. Can you turn on the organ back there? Do you have that? We don't have anything? All right, here's what we're going to do. There we go. As she begins to play, why don't you just make an altar out of your seat, or you can come to this altar. Why don't you lift up those friends, family, pray for them, that God would give you an opportunity to speak, to share the good news of the gospel with them. I just want to take a moment and thank God that He saved you. You know that you're a part of that bride who's going to be with Him for all of eternity. Father, we come to you this morning, and Lord, we thank you for your word and the promises of it. Lord, the truths of your return can be a two-edged sword. Lord, it excites us to think you're coming to get us and take us out of this world of trouble and turmoil. And Lord, deliver us from this shell, this body that we live in that is so prone to sickness and sin and the things of this world. Lord, that is so exciting, and we look forward to that. And Lord, we find hope in that. But Lord, it also gives us heaviness to think about those who will be left behind that we love so much. Help us, God, to be faithful to you, to be serving you, to keep these truths set forth in our lives in such a way that others see it and it makes or may make a difference in their life. Lord, we praise you and thank you for this place that we've had to come this morning together and worship and to praise you and exalt you. And Lord, we pray that you have been pleased with what has taken place here. Help us to continue to encourage one another, as your word says, as we see how near that day is. And God, will give you the praise and glory because we know it's all through you and all for you. We pray these things in Christ's name. And amen. Brother Bob.